Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy expanded at a faster pace than previously estimated in the second quarter, as exports and business investment were revised upwards. The nation's gross domestic product, the broadest measure of goods and services produced in the economy, grew at a 2.5% annual rate in the second quarter, an upward revision from an initial estimate of 1.7% reported last month. The GDP reading is the last one Federal Reserve officials will see before they meet on September 17th and discuss whether or not to start scaling back their $85 billion a month bond purchasing program. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales report for the week ending August the 22nd. The numbers look like this, and millions of bushels wheat this year, 20.03, make that 20.3. Corn this year, minus 0.6. Next year, 26.5. Soybeans this year, minus 0.1. And next year, 31.9. Environmental and welfare groups are suing U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, alleging the federal agency unlawfully dropped a rule that would have authorized the EPA to collect information from large-scale livestock confinement farms. The EPA axed the rule in July of 2012, saying it would rather get farm locations, waste management practices, and number of animals on the properties from state and federal agencies. USDA is seeking public comment on a 564-page report outlining possible methods of accounting for greenhouse gas emissions on farms and forests. USDA published the report in the Federal Register yesterday to start a 45-day public comment period. The report outlines a set of consensus methods to quantify GHS emissions and carbon storage at the farm, ranch, or forest level. But according to the notice, the report is not a precursor to a federal regulation on GHG emissions on farms. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 14,817, is up 11 points. The NASDAQ, 3,086, is up almost 18, and the S&P 500 is 1634, up 1.75 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Rulon.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are still unchanged from that of yesterday's forecast. We're still expecting to see net drying conditions occur across the western Corn Belt, with temperatures staying very warm to hot for about three more days before there's an opportunity for some cooling to take place. Temperatures yesterday afternoon across the region were mostly in the 90s, and the western Corn Belt will likely see temperatures staying in the 90s yet another two or three days, and then some cooling will occur with high temperatures falling back into some 80s as we move into the latter part of the weekend and on into early next week. The eastern Midwest will also experience some cool off. In fact, temperatures will become much more seasonable, with highs in the 70s and 80s expected as we get into the second half of the weekend and on into the first part of next week. The cool off will come with some low temperatures that might slip into some upper 40 degree readings in the far north, but most of the lows will likely slip back into 50 and 60 degree readings, but that will only last for a couple of days, and some warmer weather will come back again next week. There's going to be another shot of cooler air coming along as we move out behind two frontal systems in the second week of the two-week outlook. One will be in the 6th through the 8th, and another one will occur on the 10th and the 11th, and those two frontal systems will bring with it an opportunity for rain. rain. Well, I've already mentioned the fact that the western Corn Belt does not get much precipitation as we move out over these next few days. The total rainfall for the next 7 days in the western Corn Belt will run a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a half inch, and not much more than that. There may be a couple of spots in Minnesota or Wisconsin that do a little bit better, but for the most part, none of this rain will be great enough to counter evaporation, and crop moisture stress will continue to be the primary theme for the western belt. Rainfall in the eastern areas might be a little bit greater, but temperatures are not quite as warm, and the combination of slightly more precipitation and less intensive heat may translate into a little better environment for crop development. We'll look for rain totals over the next 7 days, running a quarter to three-quarters of an inch for areas to the east of Illinois, and we'll expect to see the high temperatures, as I mentioned before, cooling back into 70s and 80s after being in the 80s and lower 90s today, tomorrow, and Saturday. The forecast lows across most of the Midwest over these next 2 or 3 days will still be in the 60s and some 70s. We'll be making it a fairly steamy period of time. The longer-range forecast continues to promote an opportunity for those two frontal systems I mentioned previously to come across the Midwest, the 6th through the 8th and again the 10th through the 11th. Those two frontal systems will bring us an opportunity for rain again and some slight cooling, and hopefully we'll get enough precipitation out of those events to make a little bit more of a difference for the crop-level stress. But by then, we'll be at mid-month, and the relief potential for the crops becomes a little bit less significant in the sense of being able to restore yield potentials. The longer we go without meaningful rain in the western Corn Belt, the higher the potential is that we'll do irreversible damage, and that is already taking place, in my opinion. We'll expect to see the temperature bias to continue to be in a warmer than usual mode as we move deeper into September. There should not be any serious crop-threatening cold conditions coming up for a while. We are watching a cold air mass for late next week across eastern Canada, and that might have some impact on Manitoba. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat, 709 down 1 1/4. Soft December, 659 1/2 unchanged. September corn, 502 1/2 down 1 3/4. December, 482 3/4 up 2. September soybeans, 1439 1/4 up 6 1/4. November, 1375 1/2 up 2 3/4. September soybean meal, 471.70 up 8.40. September soybean oil, 43.95 down 36. August live cattle, 123.35 up a nickel. August feeders are 154.82 1/2. They're up a dime. And October lean hogs, 86.07 1/2 up 2 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Seems like traders are living and dying by every rotation of the forecast these days.
Well, absolutely. I think we're exactly right. We've lost ground here in the last 10 days with not any rain and with high temperatures, but the corn crop in particular could hold with minor losses should temperatures get cooler and if one of these rain systems would sneak through. Sure doesn't look like the odds are great for either one of those to happen over the next 2 weeks' time. Looks like going out to the middle of September, we're still in the warmer-than-normal temperatures.
And soybeans consolidating, too. If you look technically, the corn actually just got down into the gap that we saw earlier in the week. Beans consolidating well above its gap. Do you think that we come back after the long weekend and weather's still hot and dry, that we make a push in that beans to November's contract high?
Yeah, we've kind of consolidated within 50 cents of that 14.09 3/4 contract high set last September. The weather is just really going to be the dictating factor. We should find awfully good support on the November at 13.33, which was the high that we put in June, even if we should get down into that gap, which extends down into the 13.29 range.
Certainly, new crop export sales still robust enough to keep the pressure on, I would think.
Yeah, good export sales. We've got quite a bit already on the books. A lot of that's destined for China. It's hard to make a case for not seeing decent exports of beans, at least, into this new crop year.
Turn your attention to livestock. I would think cash would get going today, don't you think?
On the cattle side, cash will get going. The cash hog prices look kind of weak with lower carcass values, but we ought to do something with the cash cattle, and I think the interest looks to be rising.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgReview, and she is over in Morton, Illinois. Current take in the marketplace: September corn, 501 and three quarters, down 2.5. December, 482 and three quarters, up 2. September soybeans, 1441, up 8. November, 1375 and three quarters, up 3. September soybean meal, 471.50, up 820. September soybean oil at 43.93 is down 38. August live cattle, 123.25, they're down 5 cents. August feeder cattle, 154.90, up 17.5. And October lean hogs are 86.07.5, and they are up 2.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.